Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, online at kpcg.fm, and a live link at thetrumpet.com coming up on this weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live. Would you be surprised to know that hundreds of thousands rallied in Iran against America? I'm not. They do it every year, and they just did it again. More details about that. Some of the big news is the travel ban that President Trump put in place has been shot down by the courts for now. More details about that, and a pretty amazing archaeological discovery. We've got the details, that and more, this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We are live online, kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. This is the Trumpet Radio Live weekend edition. I'm Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon here as well. Get ready for the summer. It's going to be 72 on Friday. It's going to be 85 or something like that on Saturday. And then Sunday we go back down to 50, but we've got these days of summer.
I'll take it. It's a nice time. The groundhog said that we'd have six more weeks of winter, but at least the winter's kind of warm still.
He's a liar.
Yeah, he is.
That groundhog.
He fraud.
But so it is kind of interesting. Hopefully it's nice where you are. Of course, East Coast had a fair bit of snow in the last few days, and different places kind of going through different things here in the U.S. as always, but we have some nice weather coming up here in the Oklahoma area, so if you get a chance to get out and enjoy it, that's always good. Get a little sunshine, a little vitamin D. Your body needs the vitamin D.
Yeah, I'll probably spend the whole weekend outside. Just, I feel like I need it.
You'll come back in sunburned on Monday, and people will think you're the red panda. Hey, I found him.
I'll be in custody.
Yeah, I found the red panda. I did look up the red panda for those that were listening to Thursday's show. We mentioned that the red panda escaped from a zoo. I think it was in Virginia. A pretty rare species, or a pretty rare animal. There's only about 100,000 left. And it's been on the loose, I think, for a couple of weeks. And it's a little guy, you know. And it does kind of look like a raccoon. I could see where people would think a raccoon might be that creature. And it was sort of reddish. So pretty good description. It doesn't look like a panda like I envision a panda, but that's what they call it.
Looks kind of like a raccoon or a little fox or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought pandas were just really, really, really fat.
Yeah.
From all those animated movies, that's what I would have assumed.
And they know kung fu.
Exactly.
From what maybe that's why they didn't catch them yet.
And they eat like all those raw balls of dough.
Right. Right. And noodles. Yeah. So if you've seen the movie that we're referencing, then you know what we're talking
about.
What
are there, like three or four of those now?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I've watched them because my kids, you know, like them. But they're pretty entertaining, too.
That's pretty much the only genre of movie I watch anymore is like the animated kids movies.
Yeah.
A lot of them just are so like they're getting so crass now that I can barely even handle it. So I've been going to watch these animated kids movies, and they're pretty good at making those to where adults who are kind of coerced into watching them by their children still can enjoy them.
Yeah, they make it kind of enjoyable on multiple levels. The adults can appreciate a certain level of the humor, and then the kids can appreciate another level of the humor. So the movies that do that well are always hits. Speaking of strange animals, I saw a news story yesterday that there was I believe it was an orange alligator in Florida. I think it was in Florida. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
Wow. Yeah, they showed the video of it or the picture, and it's orange. I don't know why. Just a weird one-off, I guess.
Maybe a little bit of radioactive sewage that he's going through there.
Yeah, maybe. I showed it to my kids, and I said maybe got caught in the Cheeto bag. But I don't know. I don't know why he's
fell
orange.
Into a vat of Cheetos.
Yeah, there's not. It's not a type of alligator that I'm aware of, or I can never determine the alligator or crocodile. I'm not sure which one it was, but it was definitely orange. And they didn't say why. It's not common, but red pandas, orange crocodiles. I'm losing it over here.
Maybe they're discovering new species. They just kind of pop up out of nowhere like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. You can find that online. It's got some pretty neat pictures. Lots of things going on to discuss in the headlines. This was going on in Iran here in the last few days. Not surprising. Hundreds of thousands rally in Iran against Trump, and they chant. What do you think they chanted, Grant?
America is our friend, our best friend.
They tried to, but then they went back to the old standby of death to America.
Oh, come on, guys.
So apparently they're not our friends. Hundreds of thousands of Iranians rallied on Friday to swear allegiance to the clerical establishment following U.S. President Donald Trump's warning that he had put the Islamic Republic on notice, state TV reported. And, you know, you look at these videos that come across, and you can always tell that it's set up. You don't have a choice. You're going to go out there and hold the signs and yell it. And it's interesting they say that as if it was sort of an instantaneous thing, like they just all met out there to, you know, cheer and swear allegiance to the government. You don't have a choice. You're going to be out there one way or the other.
Yeah, as far as I remember, about 7 or 8 years ago, they tried to overthrow the regime. So a lot of people are not in support of really a lot of their hateful policies. I don't know if in general they still don't like America, but at least a lot of them don't like their own regime that dislikes America.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the other day, I'm reading this really interesting book about this New York Times columnist who got captured by the Taliban it was 5-6 years ago. And so he talks about, you know, his experience, and he gets to know some of these guys pretty well. And they're Muslim from various regions over there, Pakistan, Afghanistan. And in getting to know them, he said they have this strange combination of hating the West and being drawn to it at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with Iran. They hate the West, but yet the people are sort of drawn to the culture, for better or worse.
Yeah, I think there is, probably there's a little bit in everyone who has some sort of a moral compass. We probably are repulsed at some parts of our own culture just because it is so decadent. And especially if you're living in a different part of the world and you feel like they're trying to export lawlessness or godlessness to your part of the world, you probably don't like that part of it, but also you know that you're under a tyrant and you could probably appreciate the freedom that we also have.
Yeah. The people that this author was with, I mean, they were very ritualistic in their prayers and things. They did those. But then when they got a chance, they would listen to, they had a radio and they would turn off the call to prayer or whatever they do, and they'd turn it to like pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd kind of look at them and they'd smile and say, well, I'm human. So you've got that going on. I think that happens in Iran, places like that.
Yeah, it was interesting a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago when the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu actually spoke directly to the Iranians. However many of them have enough access to actually hear that. But he said, look, we support you. We know you're under an oppressive regime, but we want to be your friends. And so I thought that was a really unique way for a world leader to try to reach out when obviously Iran is probably their number one enemy. Yeah. Just because of the oppressive regime that is in charge there. But a lot of the people are just pushed into that. There are plenty of Iranian immigrants in other parts of the world that are very pro-Western. They escaped where they were. So not everyone there necessarily hates the West.
Yeah, for sure. And they are under a very oppressive regime in Iran. So they had their march and their yelling, and they carried Death to America banners and effigies of Trump, while a military police band played traditional Iranian revolutionary songs, and they burned flags. So they kind of always do the same basic things.
Maybe they're just mad that Mr. Trump is going to make it harder for them to get into our country. They probably wanted to get out, and now because of the refugee ban, I guess you could call it, they're going to be delayed at least.
No matter who's in charge in the U.S., and no matter what the policy, they're just going to do the same things, yeah. Burn flags and yell and so forth. So that's going on over there in Iran, and it's just so amazing to see that, and you see it all the time, and then to, you know, have the previous administration acting like you could make some sort of an agreement or a deal with the administration over there. You can't. They are anti-West. Always, that's their whole, you know, the purpose in life. And so there's no way they're going to change that based upon, they might play you for relief of sanctions to some extent, but they're not going to become your friend.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, I think even the less extreme people over there would probably hate the West out of jealousy in a lot of cases, because a lot of Muslim societies used to be the wealthiest in the entire world, and then for like the last 500 years they haven't really advanced, and they've basically seen the world pass them by. So religious or secular, a lot of those people would be kind of hostile toward America just because of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of great culture that has been in Iran, in Persia, yeah, over the years, and that's been totally shot down by the administration that's been in power since that 79 revolution. But they have a lot of great history, mm-hmm, back to Cyrus and things like that. One of the big things coming up, or that has happened here in the last few days, is the travel ban. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later, but just in terms of a headline, the courts ruled against the upholding the travel ban, so that's, I guess, off the books for now. This is from CNN.com. They give some key aspects from the ruling. Number one, they say, most importantly, the broad ruling makes clear that the Trump administration failed to convince the court that national security concerns justified a reinstatement of the ban. The quote is, the government has pointed to no evidence that any alien from any of the countries named in the order has perpetrated a terrorist attack in the United States. Well, I don't know that that would be true. I guess you'd have to look at all the facts there. But, you know, I was thinking about this whole situation. And you also have to keep in mind that the latest statistics I heard is that over half the country is in support of the travel ban. It's like 55 or 6%. And they think it's a good idea. But the courts, they're smarter, and they say no in their minds that they can make these decisions. But I thought, well, what would happen if somebody from one of those countries did commit an attack after this? Wouldn't President Trump look like the hero in a sense? Like, you should have listened to him. And they're playing with fire by saying, yeah, let people come in from those nations. They're terrorist sponsoring nations. That's not a secret. That's not a guess. Everybody knows that. And to say, well, they haven't committed a terrorist attack, well, not yet, maybe. And I don't even know that that's true. Where, like, a lot of the terrorists have come through different areas over there, at least been heavily influenced by them. And then, of course, certainly if you look at other parts of the world, there's been terrorist attacks recently by a lot of people from those areas. So the courts are saying that this travel ban cannot be enforced right now, but just imagine if something did happen.
Well, aren't there ISIS cells all across this country already? I wonder where most of those people are from. Maybe they haven't yet committed an attack, but they're part of an ISIS cell. I mean, they fly the black ISIS flag. Those are people who clearly are not friends of this country and will never assimilate, and yet we're letting them come over. And Somalia specifically has a lot of areas where, like in Minnesota, where they have basically made it a no-go zone within America where you don't feel comfortable being in those neighborhoods.
Yeah. And I totally understand that, you know, nobody wants to live in a society where you're penalized for something you might do. But again, these aren't citizens of this country. They don't have the same rights as citizens of this country. And so I think it's just wise to at least take a look. And again, I think that they just kind of blew it out of proportion, like no one from those countries could ever come to the U.S. ever. And it was just a temporary hold, and then they wanted to vet them, from what I understood. And that seems like a pretty smart thing to do.
Yeah, it seems easy really to see both sides of this, but clearly one side is more common sense oriented because those countries are not friends of America. And also, in general, we should look at who is coming here, just because it seems like there has been a dramatic shift from people from other first world countries coming here to now, where we're taking people from developing countries or just third world countries. Even a lot of those people just don't have the capacity to really contribute here because they're coming from nothing. They have nothing, and there's such a huge safety net once they get to America where there are a lot of benefits available, and there's not a whole lot of incentive to maybe climb the ladder. I thought in general immigrants who come to America are supposed to build the country anyway, even if they're not an active threat terrorist wise. Still, I mean, we need to be bringing people in who are going to contribute.
Well, yeah, there are only so many resources that we have in the country. I mean, as much as anybody would probably want to help everybody they could, your money runs out at some point. I mean, you can't do it all. Another thing from this court ruling, they say that oral arguments, the lawyer for the government said he thought the executive order was unreviewable, but the order eviscerates that notion, the court's order. They said, in short, although courts owe considerable deference to the president's policy determinations with respect to immigration and national security, it is beyond question that the federal judiciary retains the authority to adjudicate constitutional challenges to executive action. So for all the legal scholars out there, this will be a fun debate to have. I don't know enough to know one way or the other on that, but that's what they said.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit suspicious to me because as far as I understood it, the president was the be-all and end-all when it comes to immigration into the country, and he can absolutely make an executive order when he thinks the security of the country is at risk. That has happened before. Specifically, I believe Mr. Bush did it pretty soon after 9/11. Mr. Obama has done things like this as well, and I don't recall them being taken to court about it.
Yeah. Another point from this ruling, they say the government also argued that the states challenging the order, there was two, Washington and Minnesota, had not shown that they had the legal right or standing to bring the case in the first place. But the court pointed to the fact that public universities suffered because some of their visiting scholars were unable to enter the United States. And they said, we therefore conclude that the states have alleged harms to their proprietary interests traceable to the executive order. So that's an interesting one. Seems like maybe kind of nitpicking to get a favorable ruling there. Some of your students can't come or some of your professors. I don't see, well, that's that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's a delay. I mean, obviously, there are some good people who want to come over here who might be delayed for a little bit. But if they have no malicious intent, they will be eventually allowed to come in here. It's not like they're being barred forever.
So those are some of the takeaways from the ruling. Of course, some people are following that a lot closer. It's always interesting when it gets into a legal battle, and you've got to be into the law to know what exactly all the rules are. And it seems like they change all the time too. So
yeah,
hard to know. But that's some of the takeaway from it. And the previous administration, they really expanded the power of the executive order, and now that power is being tested, I guess, with this. So I was trying to think back to the courts and if they had overturned anything that President Obama did. And I think there were a few things, but off the top of my head, I can't remember what they were. But this has been sort of a back and forth, like who has the power to decide what. And it's being tested anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough issue because obviously there are going to be people who oppose whatever Mr. Trump does, no matter what it is. But again, if we boil this down to a personal level, which is actually what the left loves to do anyway, they love to point at one person who is suffering and make an emotional case based on that. What if we boil it down to an individual level and hostile people come in and they victimize you? What if they live next door to you and they create some trouble for you? That there is something to say for the people who are actually going to be impacted by this, which is most certainly not the lawmakers and the wealthy celebrities.
Well, and that'll be the thing. If there aren't any problems, I suppose people will go about their business. If there happens to be an attack or a problem or something that leads back to one of these nations, you can be sure that there's going to be an outcry, I would think. So we'll see how this all shapes up. But we've got a little more about that later at the end of the show as well. Here's an interesting story that you might be interested in. You've all heard, I think, of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Yeah, pretty famous. This is from AFP Science. Archaeologists discover new Dead Sea Scrolls cave. There's another cave.
Oh.
Archaeologists have uncovered a new cave that once housed Dead Sea Scrolls in a discovery described as one of the most important in 60 years. The Hebrew University in Jerusalem said the scrolls were missing from the cave, though, but hopes to find others. The Dead Sea Scrolls, which include the oldest known manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible, date from the 3rd century BC to the 1st century AD. The around 900 scrolls were discovered between 1947 and 56 in the Qumran caves above the Dead Sea. The discovery of a 12th cave could revolutionize the information we have on the Dead Sea Scrolls, Hebrew University archaeologist Oren Gutfeld told AFP, calling it one of the most important discoveries. The parchment and papyrus scrolls contain Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic writing, and include several of the earliest known texts from the Bible, including the oldest surviving copy of the Ten Commandments. So I guess the only older one would be the stones. If you can find the actual tablets of stone, then you'd be in business. So anyway, this is kind of interesting. They didn't find any more scrolls, apparently, but they found another cave. And they said many of the caves containing the manuscripts were looted in the 1950s. So you'd have to wonder where those are. Like, are they in a private collection somewhere? Somebody have them?
Yeah, and they'd be in a lot of trouble if they were found out for having them.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, yeah, it'd be really interesting. I don't know what else would be on them, but they say many experts believe the manuscripts of the Dead Sea were written by a Jewish sect that had retreated into the desert. Other scholars believe they came from libraries of the Second Jewish Temple in Jerusalem and private libraries sheltered in caves. Of course, there's a different debate about that, I guess. The most recent scrolls date to around 70 AD when Roman troops destroyed the temple. So pretty interesting history there. The artifacts are mostly housed at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem, where some of the larger pieces are shown at the dimly lit shrine of the book. The shrine's white ceramic dome recalls the lid of the jars in which the manuscripts were uncovered. So they have another cave, and I'm not sure. I'd have to confer with Brent Nachtigall, our resident archaeologist over there in Jerusalem, as to the ins and outs of all of this. But it does seem like they are finding more things lately. It seems like every, I don't know, month or so, there's some sort of new discovery over in that area. And, of course, this archaeology over in Jerusalem is a really, really hot issue because there's this battle for who belongs there, right? And they keep finding more and more proof that the Jews have been there for a long time.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to disprove the Bible, but also to disprove the Jewish claim to that land when they go, obviously, they go back thousands of years, even before any sort of Arab population sprung up there. But that's, of course, very controversial today, and that's the center of really the Jew-Arab conflict in general, because they're trying to argue over who was there first. Archaeology clearly backs the Jewish side of that.
Yeah, it does. And so that's always hotly contested. One of the things that they're excited about with these this new cave in particular is that they hope to find other caves containing or having contained manuscripts as part of the operation launched by the Antiquities Authority to carry out systematic excavations in the caves of the Judean desert. So they're hoping to find some more stuff in there. So that'd be cool. Cool if they did. It'd be fun to, you know, everybody wants to make that big discovery, you know, right? You just accidentally look at something. You're like, hey, what's this? And I suppose a lot of people would like to find gold and things like that. But if you find something of a historical value, like the Dead Sea Scrolls or something like that, a biblical value, boy, that'd be quite a feeling.
Yeah, just one of many reasons to get outside and look around and explore the world, because you never know what you might actually find from it.
Especially if you're in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Especially if you're over there. And, of course, Brent Nachtigall has Watch Jerusalem. He has a new episode coming up on Sunday, so make sure you listen for that here on KPCG. And he's right over there in the middle of a lot of that. If you're looking for a job and you don't feel like you're in a good location for one, I have good news for you. This is the top 15 jobs you can find anywhere, except for probably on the moon.
Oh, yeah. Moon probably wouldn't be part of it.
I'm imagining once you leave the Earth's atmosphere, these jobs are hard to come by.
Or possibly Antarctica as well.
Yeah, a few places on this Earth where you couldn't do this. Any populated area, here are the top 15 jobs that you can find. And keep in mind, they're maybe not always the best jobs in terms of pay, but you can find them. Number 15, food service managers. You can find those in 88.9% of all population centers. Mm. 14, medical and health service managers. That's probably a decent job. Number 13, security guards. Everybody needs a security guard. Got to keep people safe. It's a dangerous job, especially depending on where you're doing it. And, you know, I feel bad for the ones at the mall because nobody respects them.
I know. Yeah.
They're on the Segway riding around.
Although if you've seen the Mall Cop movies, that would give you a different impression of those people.
I haven't, but I have seen the previews. And the
guy's like a superhero.
What's that guy's name? The actor?
Paul Blart is the guy's actor or the character name, but I think it's Kevin James. Right?
Kevin James. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's a funny guy. So yeah, he had that movie. And it's funny because I think every time people see a mall security guard, you tend to think of that movie, whether you've seen it or not. You remember they had a movie about it. Another job that you can find pretty much anywhere, top 15 jobs you can find at any location, a retail salesperson, for now anyway, till the robots take all your jobs.
Yeah, that's a frustrating part of it, is that seems like what is happening now.
They have the self-checkout in almost every store now, but they always have somebody like manning it as well.
Yeah.
And then they have to always come over and help. And I feel like, why don't you just check us out in the first place?
I don't like the self-checkout myself.
I don't either. My kids always want to, like, they want to get the order, like the process out of order. Because you have to put the stuff in the bag. And if it doesn't like the weight, you know, like it feels like you have too much or too little in the bag, it loses its mind. And so they want to put stuff in early. And like, no. Because you don't want to mess up that process.
Yeah. Whenever a human's filling the bags, it doesn't freak out about the weight at all.
All you have to deal with there is a little bit of awkward small talk.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's fine.
That's necessary as well. A lot of antisocial people need that. So
that's some people really go after it when they're checking you out. You know, at a store. Some are just kind of about business, and others really want to get to know you on a personal level. And
that is true.
Yeah, so number 11, top 15 jobs you can find anywhere, food preparation workers, I guess different than the food service managers. They can work in tandem. Number 10, maids and housekeeping cleaners. That's always an important job. Number 9, first-line supervisors, managers of mechanics, installers, and repairers. 8, first-line supervisors, managers of retail sales workers. 7, child care workers. Takes a village to raise children.
Apparently.
That's what they told us. That's what Hillary Clinton told us.
Yeah, I'd say she's definitely the expert on that area.
Number 6, first-line supervisors, managers of office and administrative support workers. Number 5, general and operations managers. Number 4, production, planning, and expedition clerks. I don't even know what that means. Number 3, non-farm animal caretakers.
Like a zoo, I guess?
I guess.
Maybe.
I'm a
veterinarian.
Yeah. I'm a non-farm animal caretaker. I have a cat.
Yeah. It must be you.
I don't live in a farm, but I'm not getting paid for it.
Yeah, where's your check?
Yeah. Number 2, sales managers. And number 1, top 15 jobs you can find anywhere, they say, customer service representatives. How come you can never find a customer service representative, though?
Why do you have to go through, like, 4 layers of automated phone calls before you can even get to the person?
Exactly. That's the thing. I think the system is designed to try to get you to get off the phone and just give up.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that to be true with several things that we've tried to call on. You know, and an hour later, you get through to somebody, and then you get disconnected. and then you got to start all over. Or they tell you, yes, I'm taking care of the problem, and then clearly they haven't, and you have to go through it again. And the next person looks at the record, and then they say, oh, yeah, I don't know. They didn't put any note in there. You know, I just had this happen. That's why I'm so fresh on my mind.
I heard someone having a very long discussion with some customer service representative as well recently. And it's like, it's hard to get your point across. It just seems like they're very set in their ways. You're set in your ways. And usually as the customers, we think, well, what about the old adage that the customer is always right?
Yeah.
Where is the flexibility here?
It's a very good question. Sorry, you caught me mid-drink there.
Oh, that's okay. I should have kept going. I saw it coming, but then I ran out of things to say.
The audience was like, wow, he didn't have anything to say about that. I was mid-drink. I was taking a sip.
I just won the radio show.
Yeah. Well, you know what would actually be, speaking of jobs, you know what you could probably make a lot of money doing if you could figure out how to do this? I'm just going to give this to a freebie to the audience. If you're sharp and you know how to do something like this, you need to make an automated calling service that will call the company that you want to deal with, and your automated service like runs through their automated service, and then it only connects you once there's an actual human on the other side. So like this robot voice gives all of the answers, So it's just a battle of automation until two humans end up on the phone. I'm not going to waste my time. I'll have my automation call your automation.
It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Yeah. And they just keep going to war.
Keep going back and forth. Yeah, that would be actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
If you could figure out a way to do that, that would be, I bet you could make pretty good money doing that.
Everyone would love that.
Yeah, who wouldn't pay for a service like that? That'd be interesting. Somebody could think that up or think about how to do that. So, of course, this one's happening. If you ever find yourself, speaking of Jerusalem like we were, Middle East, you find yourself over in that area in Gaza and you want a haircut, there's a barber there that will do it, and he uses a blowtorch.
Oh.
You ever heard of this? Using a blowtorch during a haircut?
No.
Using fire during a haircut?
I've heard of that for maybe, like, you know, some of those people who seem to have rock-hard hair because they've gotten it dyed and sort of petrified the right way.
Yeah.
I could imagine a blowtorch being used for something like that, maybe.
Yeah. This story is from Fox News. It says, a cut above, ? Barber styles hair with a blowtorch. It could be the hottest salon in town, they say. Ba-bum-bum. A man in Gaza is showing off an unusual method of styling hair by lighting it up with a blowtorch. You wouldn't want to come in there with anything flammable on your face.
No.
Any sort of, probably for the ladies, if they had makeup or something, you just think that, or hairspray? Yeah, your whole head would go up. He says, I control how long I apply fire. Well, that's comforting. And I keep it on and off for 10 seconds or 15 seconds. This is a funny comment to me. Like, what's he going to say? Ah, I have no control over the fire. It just, it is completely safe, he says, and I have not encountered any accidents since I started it 2 months ago. So that's not a really long track record there. His name is Ramadan Ottowin, and he told Reuters in an interview published Thursday that he said he typically uses the device to straighten hair. So that's what he uses it for. If you've got, like, I guess, really, really curly hair and you want it straight, a blowtorch will do that.
Huh.
It'll burn it off.
Yeah, it'll give you no hair.
You
don't want curly hair, it'll give you no hair.
How much does it cost? $5. That's all. If you go to the salons in the town of Rafa, we should send Brent Noctegal over there. See Christopher Eames. See if they want to try it. See what happens. Report back to us.
I think I've actually been to that town, but it was a really long time ago, and I've never wanted to get my hair blowtorched.
You've got pretty curly hair.
I do.
Yeah, this would be great for you.
I just cut it short, and it's usually not curly for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
You should, walking around Rafa. You know where I can get a blowtorch on my hair? Anybody know?
There's only one guy.
The blowtorch guy. he says people have gone crazy about it. Many people are curious to go through the experience, and they are not afraid. I don't know about that. About $5, you can get that taken care of. He's been a barber for the past 18 years, and he said part of the reason he uses the technique is to show the Palestinian barbers, or to show that the Palestinian barbers are as professional as those out there around the world. By using a blowtorch. It seems like that would not show that you're professional, but maybe it's more common than I realize.
Yeah, and hopefully he's only treating his friends and not people he doesn't like.
Yeah, you'd have to be careful, I suppose, who you were going in for that. It would dry your hair, too. So that would, you know, blow dry, gives a whole new meaning to the blow dry term.
Blowtorch dry.
Blowtorch dry that thing. It'll dry it right up. So that's kind of interesting. If you're in the Middle East and you want to go there and get your hair cut, that guy will take care of it for you. No thanks. I'll pass on that. The Key of David program's coming up this weekend here on KPCG. And, of course, it's on television as well. You can check your local listings, and you can see that on thetrumpet.com. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Brent Noctegal today, speaking of, is giving the program from Edstone, England. Usually over there in Jerusalem, but he's in Edstone for a little bit and did the program today. So make sure you listen for that. And, of course, his program, Watch Jerusalem, has a new episode on Sunday as well. A couple of headlines here from thetrumpet.com. Make sure you check that out as well. There's lots of new headlines there. How Russia became the Middle East's new power broker. That's from Newsweek. Hamas insists ties with Iran strong despite regional polarization. The French election is now Marine Le Pen versus a collapsing French establishment. She's pretty radical, so it's so surprising, I guess, some ways to see her in there. Reaching for the bomb from German foreign policy, and the analysis piece is by Richard Palmer. The Trump crisis is a huge opportunity for Europe. Some see disaster, others see an enormous opportunity. So make sure you check out those headlines. Those are from thetrumpet.com. This is Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm and a live link at thetrumpet.com. Dwight Falk with you here today, and Grant Turgeon as well. And we were talking quite a bit about the immigration ruling in the beginning. And Grant has a story about this. I had a few other headlines here in relation to that just to show you how much it's in the news. Here are some of those headlines. Fear spreads in L.A. after immigration raid described as routine. Protests erupt on streets. ICE sweeps spiking. Arrest at fun park led to Arizona woman's deportation. Illegal sentenced to 8 years in prison for voter fraud in Texas. And they have a report about that wall that they're talking about building. They say it's going to take 3.5 years to build it. So this is in all the big news outlets. It's the big thing everybody's talking about here in the U.S. anyway, and really globally, I think, in a lot of ways. And so you've got a story for us here more specifically from AZ Central from Arizona. The title is Protesters Ring ICE in Phoenix. Could woman in custody be the first deported because of Trump's orders? And so that's been pretty volatile out there in Arizona.
Yes, and so she is being deported. They're just wondering, is this the first actual case? Obviously, it's gaining a lot of media coverage. She's been in the country for about 20 years, starting when she was 14, and now she has raised an entire family here. And the weird thing about this to me is every single either year or 6 months, she is going to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement office and checking in as an illegal.
Yeah.
And then they just, all she has to do is check in. They know where she lives. They know what she's been doing, and they just let her go. Hmm. And now someone who's actually enforcing actual immigration law says, well, you're flaunting the fact that you're here illegally, and now we're actually going to send you back to where you came from, and everyone freaks out about it. It just shows you how accustomed we've become to just not enforcing existing law. And I also saw an article from Breitbart from about a year or two ago. Yeah, a couple years ago. And this is about a guy named Tom Tancredo. He's a Republican senator, a former Republican senator. And he was saying that the Republicans basically see illegals as cheap labor, and the Democrats see illegals as future Democrats, people who will vote for them and increase their probability of staying in power. That is why neither party has really been too quick to enforce the law in this case, because both of them see illegals not as some sort of struggling group that they have compassion on, but groups that fulfill their ulterior motives. So both parties have become so corrupt. Here's an outsider, Mr. Trump, who's actually going to blow this whole thing open and actually enforce the law, and no one likes it.
It's an interesting thing, because when the law has been broken for so long, it's painful when you change it. It does impact people, and like a lady like this one from Arizona, you know, she's been here 20 years. She has a family, a life here. It would turn everything upside down for her and her family. And, you know, I think people look at that and say, well, that doesn't seem right. And I can understand that on a certain level. But at some point, you do have to enforce law. And that it's a tough thing. But, again, it has to be enforced, or else, you know, where does it stop? People just keep pouring in. So it is tough. I mean, it would be nice, and maybe they have something in the works to where, okay, if you've been here for a certain amount of time, maybe there's a path for you, you know, if you're willing to follow the path to actually gain citizenship. I mean, they might have something in the works like that. I don't know. But again, looking at an example like this lady and feeling maybe bad for her situation, if that makes people think that they can just keep letting people come in, you know, it doesn't solve the problem. So it's tough when the law's been broken for a long time, and then you say, okay, we're going to enforce it now. There's going to be some pain there for people. But again, it's broken law is broken law. So it is a tough situation.
Right. And it's amazing too, just the bias that this article has, because it's from AZ Central, which is now part of, I guess, the USA Today network of news sites. And USA Today has put out some appalling things as well. Like that article we talked about earlier with Steve Bannon being compared to the ISIS leader.
Yeah.
That was from them as well. So obviously they have their agenda here. But what they're doing is they're trying to, the first half of the article is a sob story about how that she's being separated from her family. And there are 200 people, basically a whole town, kind of coming out to protest her being deported. And then finally it gets to why exactly. And so then you realize it's not actually as strict as people might think. This woman had a felony on her record. And so anyone who has any sort of criminal conviction in their past can be deported. I don't even think they're getting to the point where people who have done nothing wrong besides coming into the country illegally are getting deported yet. They're still kind of exempt from this.
Did it say in the article what her felony was in relation to?
It wasn't. I don't think it was one of the worst ones you could get. It was something like she was at this work site, and basically the local government had some raid to look for illegals, and she was impersonating someone else to be able to gain employment.
Right. Yeah, and that highlights a real problem with the whole situation. And if you break a law, then you've got to break more and more laws to kind of keep it going. And so you get into that. Well, you're impersonating somebody else. You're falsifying records. You're doing things to keep up the sham, if you will. And so that's a bad way to live. Like, that's not a good, honest way to live. I would think it would take a real toll on people doing it. You know, you'd be kind of living in fear all the time that you'll be found out or something will happen. But the fear is there because you're breaking the law. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, it's not like they don't know she's illegal or they don't know where she is. She checks in all the time.
Right.
So, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of cases like this that do pop up, and there's going to be protests and there's going to be people upset about it. But at some point, you got to close down the border, at least from illegal immigration.
Exactly. And that's the thing as well. A lot of dishonest media sources have been conflating illegal immigration crackdown with, basically barring all legal immigrants as well by, you know, those empty phrases like we're a nation of immigrants. Yes, immigrants who showed up in New York City with paperwork and did it legally and got to work once they came here, not ones who snuck in and basically because they had no means of really gaining legal employment, they really have struggled ever since. There's a big difference. If you don't wait in line and get the paperwork necessary, you're guaranteed to not have much success in this country. So that's actually out of love to not let those people come in. They're going to suffer just as much almost here as they would where they were from.
Well, and I just wonder too what the people that are protesting this say, you know, change in policy. It's not even a change, just enforcing the rules in the books. What is their hope, like their end goal? Is it to at some point, you know, they talk about reforming the immigration process. What does that mean? Does that mean just letting everybody in? Because at some point, don't we all have to agree that you have to get back to some sort of vetting process and getting it back to being a legal situation where you do come into the country legally? Is that what they want? Or do they just want it to be open borders for anybody? I think some people do want that.
Yeah, and that is the ultimate goal of communism, just a world without any borders and a utopian form of government, although that can't happen under men. So it's not a good idea at all to have open borders the way that they want it to be. I actually saw a video recently as well of a bunch of Democratic lawmakers speaking completely different about this video, about this situation, maybe about 10 years ago. They were saying, it's wrong to call these people undocumented immigrants. They are illegal aliens. They should not be allowed to come here illegally. We need to build a wall. We need to keep these people out and make sure they're not cutting the line in front of all the legal people. What changed that? Again, it's all about the votes. That's what this other article said. Someone who has been there and done that and knows the ulterior motives of both parties said, the Democrats see illegals as future Democrats, and now they've just totally changed their minds on the issue.
Right. It's all about trying to stay in power as opposed to actually helping people, which is sad. And the of course, the entertainment and the sports world has jumped in. This is from CBS Sports. LeBron James says President Trump's order on refugees divides and excludes people. He said, "I am not in favor of this policy or any policy that divides and excludes people. I stand with many, many Americans who believe this does not represent what the United States is all about, and we should continue to speak out about it." Yeah, but the stats say 56% of the country does agree with it. So there's more people that stand on the other side of LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the minority on this. And really, the people who support open borders, illegal immigration, that is radical. That is extremely off base. There is no logic to really back up a position like that. That's just not what any sensible person would agree with.
Sure.
It's dangerous. We've seen that happen where people get deported six times. There's no wall. There's no way to prevent them from coming back in. And so they end up killing somebody after being deported six times.
You know, and too, talking about not, you know, they don't want to divide and exclude people. Well, break it down to something that, say, LeBron James does. He plays basketball. How do you enter and exit a basketball game? You have to call for a substitution. They wait for a stoppage of play, blow the horn, you sub. What kind of a game would it be if you just threw those rules out the window or you didn't follow them and people were just running on and off the court at random times? Or, you know, if somebody in the stands said, "I feel like playing today," and they just ran out there with a LeBron James jersey on and started shooting, it'd be chaos, it'd be a disaster, security would be called, obviously. But there's not really any difference there. If you want to have a successful basketball game, you have to follow the rules, which he travels all the time, so he doesn't. But, but you know what I mean? The officials have to enforce the rules to a point where you don't have a game. And if they feel like the rules are not being applied, they make quite a stink about it. You ever see any of those players think they got fouled? They lose their minds over it because they feel like they've been cheated out of the rule. But then when it comes to people just pouring into the country, they say, well, anything goes. They wouldn't say that in a basketball game.
Or even if you take it to the level of how do those players enter the arena in the first place, they have to go to their secret underground parking lot. They have to even get through security to get in the gate to that parking lot. They have to show their credentials to get through security to get inside the arena and to go underground and get to the locker rooms. They don't just let everyone go in those same entrances, or else, you know, the fans would just mob the players all the time. They'd have no privacy and probably no safety.
Yeah, if you go to one of those sporting contests, and you know, if you happen to get a good ticket down low, they give you the big laminated pass. You have to wear it around your neck and prove that you can be in there. And you know, if you're sitting up in the high seats, you think to yourself, "I'd like it better down there." You know, I'm sick of being divided by this. You know, paying these different prices for tickets. But again, society doesn't function on any level or in any area if there's no law there.
Yeah.
And so, but yet somehow when it comes to the immigration, they just want to say, well, anything goes. Under Armour's getting in the mix now. They've got a little bit of a inner company division. The CEO likes President Trump, but the big stars of Under Armour don't. Steph Curry doesn't, and The Rock. He doesn't like President Trump. So they're having division in Under Armour.
The Rock doesn't like him, huh? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I didn't know The Rock had a deal with Under Armour, but apparently he does.
Wow. Yeah, I saw what Stephen Curry said, and that was just extremely...
It was rude.
...disrespectful. I don't think we even need to repeat what he said about Mr. Trump, but...
Can you imagine if that had been said about the past president?
Unbelievable.
Oh, you had been...
Scream racism.
Oh, sure.
Bigotry. Yep. All these other buzzwords, basically.
Yep.
And the thing is, all that the CEO of Under Armour said was that it is nice to have a pro-business president in office because it's going to be good for sales. He didn't say, and that's the thing, he had to come out and clarify before the savages came out and destroyed his company that he wasn't just talking about anything else. He was clearly focusing just on business, which is his realm. That's his field. He wasn't making a comment on any of Mr. Trump's other beliefs. The fact that he had to even release a statement to avoid persecution and a mass boycott just shows you that does free speech really exist anymore in this country if you can't say a statement as limited as that.
Yeah, and I think I do think that there's probably a it's kind of like the playground mentality where everybody's, you know, picking on somebody, and so everyone wants to jump in. And right now they happen to be picking on the president, so everyone's jumping in with their comments. Would they make this comment on their own? Would Steph Curry make that? Probably not, but he knows it's kind of the popular thing to say. But, you know, personally, too, for him, if he's so concerned about, you know, this immigration issue, why doesn't he just give away his Curry shoes to all them that come across? Because when they come in the country legally, somebody's got to foot the bill, usually, and usually it's a welfare sort of system. And at some point that runs out, whether you want to do that or not. Is he willing to give up all of his revenue that he makes on shoes to just give them away, or to give the revenue away?
$15 million a year from Under Armour?
Probably not. He's not living in my neighborhood that I know of.
Exactly.
So, you know, they have high-minded ideals in a way, but when the rubber meets the road, I don't think they're doing much about anything.
Well, that is the problem with every leftist point of view. I guess in a way, if they are legitimately concerned about certain things, then you can applaud the vision that they might have. But when it comes to applying whatever their vision is, it does take actual sacrifice and action and not just complaining about things. I mean, that's what Stephen Curry was doing. He was almost threatening to leave Under Armour just because the CEO said that Mr. Trump is pro-business. Think about that. That's just an outrageous response to such an innocuous comment, basically.
Yeah, they're those people that are selling their name, you know, with shoes and things, they are kind of walking a tightrope because the country's split.
Yeah.
And even with the immigration thing, it's actually more in favor of keeping them out. So they're trying to sell those shoes. And I tell you, you offend too many people, they're not going to buy your shoes anymore. And at the end of the day, it is a business thing. So really interesting. We'll, of course, keep reporting on what's happening with that because there's always a lot of changes there. Make sure you check out thetrumpet.com for all the headlines. Also, the Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, Trumpet Hour Week in Review, and Watch Jerusalem all this weekend on KPCG. That's all the time we have. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather, especially if it's nice where you are. For myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, enjoy the weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.